Amen.
You know, Thomas missed one service. When Jesus rose from the dead, there was two absent seats in that upper room. One belonged to Judas, one belonged to Thomas. You see, when Thomas missed that service, we do not know what the reason was. Perhaps, you know, he did not believe Jesus rose from the dead. Well, we know the Bible says that he was doubting, even when they told him. So probably he was doubting already, right? And because he missed one service, his name goes down in history as Doubting Thomas. Amen. Now, there is no condemnation if you miss one service. No condemnation at all. But you know what? That whole week, Thomas worried, strived, worked needlessly. Thomas didn't even believe when they told him, hey, Jesus appeared. He didn't believe. So he spent one whole week in darkness when the light has come. So I always encourage people, there's some things you cannot receive until you are there. And you know something else? Thomas did not hear Jesus say, receive you the Holy Spirit. Because you'll find when Jesus said that, Thomas wasn't there. Thomas received all the blessings one week too late because he missed one service. Another thing is that Judas missed it completely for different reasons. The man was dead. He killed himself. But when you look at the two empty seats, it seems like they are together in fellowship. You appear as if you are like Judas, but you are not. And the thing is that while there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ, in a church that God speaks very strongly and God is building upon line upon line, if you miss something, get it. Somehow get it. Get it from your wife's notebook, if she has a notebook. Get it from the tape. Buy the tape. All right. Every time you get CDs or DVDs or tape, let me tell you this, you are investing. Whatever you put inside, let me tell you this, it's nothing compared to what you get out of it. Are you listening, church? So sometimes you miss church because you want to spend time with your family on vacation. That's a very good reason. Amen. I encourage that. But besides that, or work, I don't encourage you to work every time during weekend. Let the world do it. You're a child of the Most High God. Amen. You're God's favorite child. Amen? If you're in a job that requires you to always, always miss church, I would question that job as God's provision. God wants you to come and enjoy His Word. So much the more as you see the days approaching. What day is that? The end times. Amen? With all these earthquakes. Last Sunday I went home. I was not sleeping yet. I was sitting down in my living room with my darling wife, watching TV, watching the news actually. And then we watched something else for a while. And after 4 hours, I thought the whole earth shook. You know? I thought maybe because she was beside me. Yeah, and that she was shaking the chair, you know what I'm saying? So I told her, you felt that? She says, what is it? I said, I felt the whole building move. And true enough, at 1:30 that night, there was an earthquake. You know, with all this increase of earthquakes, especially very near our doors, the Bible says so much, as you see the day approaching, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Because God will give you a word that will prepare you, there will be a sword on your side when your evil day comes. You know, I pity those who don't have a word from God to fight with. When you go through your evil day especially, you need the word. In fact, if I go through an evil day, I listen to my sermons. And I listen to some other sermons, but I listen to my sermons because I will hear things that God said to me some time ago that I've forgotten. The devil comes to steal the word. Why do you think the devil steals the word? Of all the things he wants to steal, he steals the word. All right, so unless you're on vacation with your wife, all right, your family, and you miss church, that's my blessing. But you say, Pastor Prince, I can't come to the healing meeting because I was sick. Then something is wrong with your faith. Amen. I can't come to the healing meeting. I was sick. And there's always, you see, once in a while, it's important to hear this. It's been a grace church. People start saying things that we can worship God at home. You hear that kind of excuse. You know, and in America especially, they have Christian television. But the thing is this, you missed out on the corporate anointing. You missed out on the presence of the Lord in such a powerful way. Amen? Poor Thomas missed one session only. Down through history, he became Doubting Thomas. Actually, he recovered. He was restored. He says, "My Lord and my God." Amen? And he died as a martyr in India. It's a well-known fact. He died in Kerala in India. But you know what? He's known as Doubting Thomas. And he doubted. Right? So church, that was a long time ago. We are the end time generation. If you can, come midweek service. Come on Sunday. All right? It beats watching TV at home. You know where's your hope in these last days? Not in man. In God. In God Almighty. And that's our session here tonight. We want to talk about Abraham. We want to talk about the time God appeared to him. And God says, "I am Almighty God." You know, when I stood down there, I felt like tonight God is saying, "I am Almighty God." And that's why the song of the Spirit just now was about Almighty God. He is holy. There's nothing he cannot do. The word Almighty means what? He is mighty, and he's not just mighty. He's mighty in all areas that you need him to be. There is no area. So Pastor Prince, I have a debt situation. I owe a lot. Does that all include debt? You can say that, brother. Amen. It includes from the very hairs of your head or whatever is missing to the very soles of your toenail. Amen. Whatever skin can, whatever you need in your body, whatever you need in your life, whatever you need in your finances, whatever you need in your family, whatever you need in your relationship, God is Almighty. Now, for this revelation, I just want to share something. There was a time. Now, I'm not going to share this on Sunday. So that's why it's important that you follow the trend of thought, because there's so many things that we want to do. On midweek service, we do a little bit more teaching. We take a bit more time to teach, to expound more. But it's been happening that even on Sundays we are teaching. So you just come. We do not know what's going to happen. All right? And I look forward, because many a times, if you ask me, "Pastor, what are you going to preach afterwards?" I'll tell you the message. But sometimes even the transparency people will know. I don't use the verses that I prepared, because I do not know what's going to happen until I'm there. Amen? I didn't prepare to sing that song in the Spirit just now. In fact, I thought I was just going straight to the message. But when I'm here and the Spirit of God is on me, then I know what He wants done. And even right now, I do not know what's going to happen in the messages afterwards or what I'm going to say. So it's very exciting. When I come, I enjoy my own sermons, because I'm ministering to myself. And sometimes when the teacher takes over, you know you're not that smart. You know you're not that good. All right? But you know the teacher. The teacher has taken over. The divine teacher has taken over. And I'm listening to him talk. It's almost like I step out of my body and I listen. My goodness, that's good. I feel like taking down notes. That's good. I feel like stopping and say, "Stop. Say that again. Say that again." You know? And I love that kind of ministry. So I'm just like you. I need to be pastored every week. So I trust the Lord that He will pastor each one of us, feed us, even tonight and every time we come for service. And because I trust Him, He will also feed me. Amen? So you are wrong if you think that Joseph Prince knows all his messages from start to finish, all right? And he knows what's going to happen. He knows everything. You are wrong. Definitely wrong. Because the Lord is preaching in this church. Now, I'm not giving that as an excuse. Okay, there are people who use that as an excuse. The Lord, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's his sermon tonight. And there's no sermon. And then they blame the Lord. You know? So, many a times, as you all know, that when the Lord leads, when the Lord speaks, there's much more food. We have 12 basketful over, even spiritually, in terms of spiritual food, there's 12 basketful left over and not enough time. Because you have to go for your satay, you have to go for your porridge, you have to go for your supper. Amen? But there's 12 basketful left over. And I love ministries like that. I love to sit under ministries where people are preaching by the Spirit and not according to the letter of the law. Amen? Praise the Lord. Tonight, we look at Abraham and we look at an area of his life where, he's a man justified by God through faith, not through his works. We are all clear on that. If you're not clear on that, get the tapes, all right, of the past Sundays, and you see beyond the shadow of any doubt. It's not based on his works at all. It is based on faith. All right? Now, invariably, there's always someone who says, "James says faith without works is dead. Was Abraham not justified by works? when he offered Isaac on the altar? Exactly, when he offered Isaac, how long ago was that? When did God proclaim him righteous by faith? Before Isaac was born. Before Ishmael was born. Long before they were even born. And Isaac had to grow up, probably a teenager or a young boy, before he was offered on the altar. So this is talking about justification before man. All right, don't confuse the two. All right? We're talking about justification before God, where it really matters. This is the root and that is the fruit. What God is saying, if you really believe God, that you are righteous by faith, not by your actions, not by your performance, not by works, in a matter of time, but in Abraham's case, it was more than 20 years in a matter of time. You will do something that the world will see, man, you are really righteous. You see, our good works is for men to see. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Your Father. So it's important as grace believers, we are involved in good works. But again, not dead works, good works, born of the Spirit. Can I have a good amen? And the reason we walk in holiness is not to be right with God. We walk in holiness to protect our own hearts. Because we realize that condemnation kills. And if you don't walk in holiness, what's going to happen if you live in sin? All right? Your own heart will condemn you. No amount of standing in front of a mirror and saying, I'm the righteous of God, can cut it. If you know you are living in sin, all right, purposely living in sin, your heart condemns you. And whether your heart condemns you because of good things or bad things, rightfully or wrongfully, doesn't matter. Condemnation kills. Are you listening? All right, so when you are holy for the benefit of your own heart. Amen. Now, don't get sidetracked with the word holy. It doesn't mean you got to be perfectly holy in all your thoughts, words, and deeds. It just means be a good father, be a loving husband. I'm speaking to men, all right, includes women as well. All right, be a good worker. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't lie, be honest. Conduct your affairs with integrity. Honor your pastor. Honor your pastor. Honor your pastor. Honor your pastor. Right, oh, you, how many pastors? Few pastors, so it's one for each. Amen? So you must understand that. But there, after God pronounced him righteous, there was a time in Abraham's life where God did not talk to him for 13 years. Are you aware of that? For 13 years, God did not talk to him. What happened? He's still righteous before God, yes. God was doing something. Because Abraham was doing something. So let's look at the account, and we're going to learn a lesson from here. A powerful lesson. Like I said, if you attend only on Sunday, you'll miss what is being said tonight. And it's going to be a powerful lesson for all of us, okay? Now look at Genesis 16. Now straight away from 16, we go to chapter 17. These are the last two verses, 15 and 16 of Genesis 16. Then we go to Genesis 17, verse 1 and 2. Okay, it says, so Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Notice the Holy Spirit gave you the age of Abram. How old was he? 86. Then in chapter 17, verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I'll make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Now, notice, after Ishmael was born, whom Hagar bore, Abraham was 86 years old at the time, and for 13 years God didn't speak to him. Was God mad at him? Was God angry with him? Why didn't God speak to him for 13 years? 86, 99, how old? 13, right? So, until Ishmael was 13 years old, God did not speak to Abram. Was God angry with him? No, God was never angry. Why? Why didn't God speak to him? Because of what Ishmael represents. You must understand this. Then, church, listen. Notice when God appeared, God says, I am Almighty God. Finally, when God appeared, his first introduction of himself is as Almighty God, our subject tonight. That is the name El Shaddai. This is the first time the name El Shaddai, Almighty God, appears in the Bible. First time. First time it appears in the Bible. Now, God never introduced himself as Almighty God, El Shaddai, to Abraham ever. Until This time, he introduced himself, I'm Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. Almighty God. What happened? And today, if you want God to reveal himself as Almighty God, this is a revelation you must receive tonight. Amen. Can I have a good amen? And how many understand that God have different names? We learn that God's covenant name today is Abba Father. Amen. So, I mean, you can talk about Almighty God, you can talk about the covenant-keeping God, or Jehovah, Elohim, or El Shaddai, but his name is Abba today, to all of us. Amen? But nonetheless, he is also Almighty God. He is also Jehovah. He is also Elohim. Elohim is the creator. Jehovah is a covenant-keeping God. El Shaddai is the all-powerful one, the Almighty God. Shad, in Hebrew, where you get Shaddai, means power, might. Shaddai means all might, all power. I am the all-powerful one. Amen. The all-nourishing one. The all-providing one. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How many want God to reveal himself to you as Almighty God? So you need to answer the question, what happened here? 13 years, God was silent. The silent years of Abraham as Ishmael was growing up. So I think for the benefit of those who are new, who have joined us, we want to show you from Galatians chapter 4 once again, the meaning of Ishmael and his mother Hagar. In verse 21, verse 21 of this chapter, tell me you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bond woman, her name is Hagar, the other by a free woman, Sarah. Sarah is his real wife. Notice he's also called free woman. That means she's free. She's not in bondage. The other woman, Hagar, is a bond woman. But he who was of the bond woman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic, for these are the two covenants. These women are the two covenants. Isn't it interesting? The Bible says there are two covenants. I find it very interesting that in the Bible there are stories hidden in characters. There are teachings hidden behind events. Amen. And there's something for all of us to learn. So the Old Testament, you know, I've been accused of preaching only New Testament. I don't know how people come to that accusation. That's how I know people don't hear my sermons. Maybe they hear one or two tapes or three tapes, you know, and then they come to a conclusion. I've been accused, even recently, that I don't preach from the Old Testament. And those who know, they just laugh. Because there is one pastor who preached a lot from the Old Testament. All right? And people ask, well, Pastor Prince, you say Benjamin generation. We are the Benjamin generation. How, based on what authority can you say that? I can say that Paul made typology kosher when it says these two women are the two covenants. Amen? So we can look at the Bible and draw meanings, but make sure that our meaning, all right, is in line with the teaching of the New Testament. In fact, there's a verse that says you'll bring forth the old because of the new. You'll bring forth the treasures of the old because of the new. Amen? So the Old Testament, the old is the new concealed. The new is the old revealed. Amen? Recently, the Lord showed me how someone who is healed needs to be going through something for him to receive what has already been given to him from the law. That means the person is healed, but the person needs to go through some things for him to enjoy what he's already been given. You understand? So from there, we see that most of the teachings in the New Testament, all right, it's not in detail, but the Old Testament gives you the detail. So both Bibles work for you today. But you must understand what is written to us when that speaks to us directly, and Old Testament speaks to us indirectly. Amen? So go back to this again. There are two women in Abraham's life. One was a slave girl, Hagar. The other was his wife, the woman who was free. Her name was Sarah. Amen? We got a Sarah here smiling. It's a nice name, Sarah. And Sarah represents what? Look at these women. First, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage. These women are the two covenants. Paul says these things are symbolic. These two women are symbolic. That's why Paul gave us the authority to look at the Old Testament also in a symbolical way. These are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage. Stop! Settle this once and for all. Don't look at me. Look at the verse. Enough. All right, look at the verse. It says here, from Mount Sinai gives birth to bondage. Settle it once and for all. Whatever is from Mount Sinai gives birth to bondage. Amen. The Ten Commandments is from Mount Sinai or from another mount? Mount Sinai. It gives birth to what? Bondage. I didn't say it. The Bible says it. The Holy Spirit says it in His Word. The one from Mount Sinai which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. You insist on holding on to the covenant of Mount Sinai, you will produce bondage in your life. And this covenant is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. Very clear. It's in bondage with her children. And these children are people, you know, and they're in bondage. They're in bondage in more ways than one. How many want to live in freedom? Okay, a few hands. How many want to live in slavery? Okay, some of you are not sure. That's why you experience both. Once again, how many want to live in freedom? The Lord is watching. Okay, good. You know why that's important? I'll tell you why. Because if you're in bondage, you must want to be free. There was a man who was in bondage for 38 years to a disease, and Jesus asked him, you want to be well? Strange question to us. I mean, you don't go to GH hospital and see someone down there for months and say, you want to be well? But no, the Lord must have your consent. There are people who love the sympathy. They love the attention. They love the money. They love the non-working privileges that sick people get. So you must ask, you want to be well or not? You want to be well, you must go to work again. People won't come and pat you on the shoulders again. So some people don't be well. They don't be that sick. Not that well either. Just enough to generate sympathy. Do you want to be well?
Yes.
You want to be free?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I gather you would for you to be here tonight. So the Bible says, all the children of Hagar is in bondage. Next. But the Jerusalem above is free, who is the mother of us all. That is Sarah. All right? Notice it's not Jerusalem. Don't go to Jerusalem today in Israel and say, Jerusalem is free. It's not. Jerusalem above is free. Jerusalem on earth, we saw just now, is not. So don't look at Jerusalem on earth today and say, this is Hagar. Sarah. This is not Sarah. That's why the name Jerusalem is plural. Yerushalayim. All right? Jerusalem on earth, Jerusalem above. Our mother is Sarah, Jerusalem above. So you have a heavenly father and you got a mother in heaven, heavenly mother. Now, don't worship her. All right? She's a covenant. Amen? But mother in heaven means heavenly mother. You know? Someone just come here, wow, Pastor Prince preached, you know, we're going to worship, you know, father and mother. You know? If you're out to destroy me, nothing will stop you, okay? Amen? But you're kicking against the pricks for sure. Now, it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not labor. Just the other day I was reading this, then I realized this is a miraculous birth, you know. I never saw it that way. That the Bible is talking about miraculous birth. Because notice, you who do not bear and you who are not in labor. The natural process is what? You got to bear it for 9 months. All right? With all the inconveniences. And then when you give birth, there's labor. Now, for the people of the world, there's labor pains. Right, for the children in church, in this church, we are redeemed from labor pains. Amen. But the Bible says it's a supernatural birth. Amen. You who are not in, you who did not bear for the 9 months, and you who are not in labor. That's a supernatural birth. In other words, because you're a child of Sarah, everything will happen in your life without the natural course of events. Without needing the natural stuff. That's why you ought to rejoice. Amen. You say that in my line of work, because I'm a civil servant. Because I'm a civil servant, when I reach this age, they give me a watch. Okay, now they're not going to go well. You know, my mother-in-law just retired, and she got a plaque. Hallelujah. So you think to yourself, oh, the natural course of events, you know, when I come to this age, they give me this, when I come to that. You don't have to depend on that. You're a child of Sarah, not a child of Hagar. Amen? Why do people want the casino? It's not the casino they want. What do they want? They want the casino because they want the money. But it's not the money they want, right? What they want? They want what the money, what they think the money can bring them. Holidays, bigger house, bigger cars, you know, more pleasure, more fun, more freedom, more time. That's what they think, lah. All right? And those who have all these things realize it's not true as well. In fact, some of the people with a lot of money have a lot of needs. And those with lesser money have lesser needs. So prosperity is measured by how much needs are being met. And then you find that they want this because they want this, they want this. You know what God does? God jumps all this and God says, I'll give you life and life more abundantly. You know, casino. All right? No gambling. No money won from gambling. God will give you money without gambling. Without the stress. Without the sweat. But because we don't believe it, just like Abraham did not believe it. This is a lesson tonight. All right? Abraham did not believe it. But we are children of the miraculous. We are children of the promise. We're not children of the flesh. We're not children of the natural. We're not children of works. We're not children of the law. We are born of heaven. We are not born of the earth. All right. Once upon a time, we are born of the flesh, but now we are born of the spirit. Amen. Those who are born once only die twice. Those who are born again. All right. Twice. Those who are born, or I should say twice, die only once if Jesus tarries. Think about that. Hallelujah. So now we are children of the spirit. All right. We operate by the realm of the spirit where there is no law. You know, people are so afraid when Pastor Prince says there's no law, or what is there to govern us? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit and the law doesn't go together. That's why in Galatians, Paul says, if you are led of the Holy Spirit, you are not under law. But you are led by the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful. I said it's wonderful. And the Holy Spirit, you see, the Holy Spirit wants to lead and guide us in every area of our lives. Amen. I say amen. Just because we did some things in the past and we received our miracle or healing, all right, next time we have the same need, we start doing the same things again. But the Holy Spirit may tell you this time, don't do that, do this instead. So we got to live alive by the Spirit and not by the law. But we are such creatures of the law, tell me what to do, Singaporeans especially. You know, we have so many, we it's easier to live with laws than to live in a dynamic relationship with God where you're flowing with what He's doing and you're being led by Him and you do not know which way He's going. Just like the wind, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. You don't know where it's going, where it's coming. Alright, so is everyone born of the Spirit. And we want, tell me what to do. Tell me the seven steps. Amen. God wants to bring you out of the sheepfold into the open, where it's free. Alright, but where there is freedom and there is no more sheep fence to hold you back in, the law is the sheepfold. That's why in John 10, Jesus talks about bringing the sheep out of the sheepfold. That's Judaism, the law. And then He says, but then out there, there's vast expanse of land and freedom and fresh air and adventures to be explored, to be had, and lands to be explored. But there is a shepherd leading you. Amen. I am the good shepherd. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There are Christians who have wants all the time because the Lord is their savior, but not their shepherd. They're not being led by Him. Amen. The Lord leads you out of the sheepfold in John 10, where you find life more abundantly. He leads you out of the law. And if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Hallelujah. Even tonight, the message, all right, whatever I'm saying is not, in fact, the Lord told me for this service to stop and tell you how I preach. So you learn also. Understand your pastor better. The Lord said that specifically to me. That's why I stopped just and I explained to you that I do not know all my message. Do you understand? And I'm trying my best to keep all the four services identical. Last week, our midweek service, what I preached on Thursday and what I preached on Sunday, some things I said that were so good I felt on Thursday, I didn't say on Sunday, on Friday, excuse me. On Friday, I said some things that I didn't say on Thursday. And then the question is asked, which service do you want, Pastor Prince, for the sale of the tapes? It's hard sometimes. Because each service has their own uniqueness. Amen. Now, don't attend more than one service. Right? We got space problem as it is really. If you need to come for the fourth service, there's still some space in the overflow. But the thing is this, I want, the Lord told me to tell you, all right, how the service has been conducted, how I preach as well. So that you learn. You learn what your pastor is all about, and those who are called will also learn how to preach. And there are people, they must know every part of their sermon, they must know what's going to happen. If you do that, you can't depend on the Holy Spirit. Amen. On the other hand, you say, today I'm led by the Holy Spirit, and nothing comes out. Amen. Worship leader goes up there and say, I'm led by the Spirit. Anyone got any song? Something is wrong. Yes, there must be some organization, but after you plan, after you study, and I always study, all right? And study, let's not talk about how many hours, so, because that will give people ideas again of the law. People like to make laws out of everything. Amen. So back to this again. God wants to give you the good life. He wants you the good life. He's your Father. He wants you to have life and life more abundantly. Can I have a good amen? And God wants to speak to you and lead you every day. But there was a time in Abraham's life, God could not talk to him. Now you're getting a bit of revelation. It's not that God is mad at him and God did not talk to him. God could not. Why? Go back to Galatians again. The Bible talks about the law. Galatians, friend. This Genesis, da. Okay. He was a born woman, was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. So again, notice the promise in contrast with the flesh, which means what? Ishmael was born according to the flesh. Flesh, when you see flesh in the Bible, don't think of sex sins all the time, please. You know, some places you hear, oh, live under the flesh, works of the flesh, oh, sex sin. It's because your mind is full of sex. Amen? Stop looking so guilty. Look up here. What does flesh mean? According to the flesh means what? How did Abraham? Oh, Pastor Prince, there was sex involved. Okay, never mind. Alright. He that is ignorant, let him be ignorant still. According to the flesh means according to self-effort, according to works. Like we learned last few Sundays from Romans 4 was what did Abraham find as pertaining to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, now he says the flesh is works. So, flesh is self-effort. What does it mean to walk, a Christian walking according to the flesh? Walking according to self-effort. God doesn't want you to walk according to your self-efforts no more. Walk in the Spirit means what? The opposite of walking according to self-effort. That means you rest and let God do. Amen? So here it says, which things are symbolic for this age. Yep. Now, no wonder it sounds so familiar. Now, having seen this, let's jump all the way down to the last part of this portion. Yep. Down, please. Yep. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. So, notice that our results, the desolate has many more children. We who one time people despised us, we have more children than the one who has a husband. Just let you know something, okay? The known church today, evangelical church, what do you call it? The known church today compared to the number of grace churches, all right? The grace churches, no matter how big, like our church is a big church, grace church. But basically as a whole around the world, grace churches are still pretty small. And for many, many years, the so-called mainstream is producing all the works. But God says the time has come. For a long time, Leah produced more children than Rachel. But when the time came and Rachel produced, it was quality seed. Joseph and Benjamin. Alright? So notice that the natural always appears first. So there is a natural church. Jacob awoke in the morning after he married the one he thought was Rachel and realized it was Leah. Alright? After he screamed, that's not in the Bible, I assume. Alright? I mean, what to do? He made love with the wrong woman. He married the wrong woman. And then he had to serve for Rachel. But there are good commentaries also that says most likely he didn't serve another 7 years. He married Rachel after that and served the 7 years after. So it's like the church. Instead of finding grace down to church history, immediately after Paul died and a few apostles died, the church went into perversion in his teachings. Grievous wolves came. And for many years in church history, we had Leah. We woke up with Leah. A different kind of church. You know? And through Leah, we have produced what we call sons. It was hard. And Rachel doesn't seem to be giving birth. Sarah, for that matter, didn't give birth for a long time. The first woman gave birth. All right? But here, that's why it's saying, you who do not labor, the desolate, Sarah will have more children than Hagar. Can I have a good amen? I think our church is a good example of that by God's grace. This church here is an example of the kind of grace church in the last days. Amen. Now, please don't go out here and say, Pastor Prince says we are the only true church. All right? I slap you to Jerusalem. Don't do that. Okay? I've never said that. There are many good churches, but just like the times when Brother Hagin was preaching Word of Faith. You know, he preached faith to churches about 30 people, 50 people, 60 people. It was not well received. And then, all of a sudden, today in America, the largest churches, many of the largest churches are Word of Faith churches. Amen. They are Word of Faith churches. Praise God. The same thing will happen to Grace churches. Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe that we are part of that first fruits. Praise the Lord. And now, people are no more coming against the Word of Faith. They are accepting it. So this is a good prophecy for all of us. The desolate has many more children. Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. Then it says that he was born according to the flesh, persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, even so it is now. That means the one who is under law, under Hagar and Hagar's son, persecute the one born according to promise, the spirit. Even so it is now. People who are under law persecute those who are under grace. Isn't it interesting? People under grace do not persecute those under law. People who are under grace don't write emails. Don't send letters. And don't burn CDs. What do? We will always respond with grace. Grace makes us gracious. Amen. Can I have a good amen? And you better learn that. Don't fight for your church. Don't fight for your pastor. You fight, all right? You spoil everything. I like to keep myself, all right, without works, without your fight. And let's see how God defends. If God cannot defend, I don't want any defense. Can I have a good amen? All right? And don't think of people as your enemies just because people say things. People don't understand. They don't understand how wonderful your pastor is. Amen? And they don't understand how clean the blood of Jesus has made this church. So, when people don't understand, you don't attack. Amen? You love. Can I have a good amen? Praise the Lord. In case you want to know where I stand, this is my stand. I stand in love. Let all the attack come from people. Amen? You take dung, you throw. The first person that holds the dung is you. Alright, just remember that. And the dung never reached me one. There's a shield, brother. There's a shield. Learn that, you know, before you attack your colleague or your friends and all that. And before you slander anyone, it hits you first. Amen? So, let me just tell you this. It has its own built-in... Not punishment. Punishment is not a good word. There's its own penalties, so whatever. When you're hateful, all right, you hurt yourself. If you're bitter, you hurt yourself. You know, the one you hate can be enjoying his life or her life. But if you're bitter, you hurt yourself. Not God hurt you. And when you're hurt, don't say God sent the punishment. God did not. You hurt yourself. Like a car cannot run on water. It runs on fuel. Okay? Don't pour water inside your car. It will break down. It might not break down immediately, but you'll break down. Don't pour unforgiveness in your heart. Your body will break down. And when it breaks down, don't say God punished you. God did not. God designed your body for love. Every cell responds with love. Even your liver functions better. Your eyes get brighter when you love. Amen? As for me and my house, we love. Amen. How about you? Yes. And learn that your colleagues say things about you. Don't respond. Amen. Learn from all those Chinese drama, Hong Kong dramas, Korean dramas. You know, the sweet girl is always the one who is tortured, but then she responds with sweetness. And she gets the guy at the end. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. One of the things that tickles me the most are movies that are so popular, and their principals are all Christian. You know, it is the girl that wants the other girl, the bad girl that wants the hero, you know, that connives and plans and does things to make that girl looks bad. But at the end, the whole thing falls back on her, right? And the girl is always forgiving. Whether it's Hindi movie, Indian movie, all right, Chinese movie, whatever movie, all right, the girl is always forgiving. You never find the girl whacked back. But it's not the real world. This Christian world. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are leading their fairy tale. Amen, church. Now, having seen that, we see that God says Hagar and Ishmael is a picture of the law. Hagar is the law. Ishmael is the son of the law. Or a picture of your flesh. There are two applications. One is those who are under the law. Another application is your flesh. Your flesh can produce nothing. That's why, listen carefully, the law appeals to the flesh. By the way, the law is for the flesh, for your efforts. The law is not for the spirit. When God gave the law on Mount Sinai, it was for the flesh to do. You shall not, you shall not, you shall not. But grace speaks to the spirit. Again, law speaks to your flesh, your efforts. Grace speaks to the spirit. So the Bible says, when you throw out Hagar, throw out the flesh as well. Put no confidence in the flesh. Hallelujah. So here comes the question, the million-dollar question. Why didn't God speak to Abraham? Because he has the law in his house, Hagar, and the son of the law. He's trusting in them, he's nursing them, he's feeding them, he's protecting them, he's taking care of them, all right? And God, I would say God could not speak. Whenever you're under the law, God cannot speak. I say God cannot speak when you're under the law. When you're trusting your self efforts, there's nothing for him to speak to you about. Because God speaks to your spirit. Grace speaks to your spirit. And if you're trusting your flesh, then why would your spirit need speaking? You only need speaking when you are not trusting your works. You need assurance, you need promise, and God speaks to those who are not under law, but under grace. So, God, then why finally, after 13 years, God spoke to him. And even then, Sarah was not fruitful yet, but God did promise when he appeared here, I'm Almighty God, and says, this set time next year, Sarah shall have a son. So you find the promise happened. Why? Because when he was 100 years old, why could God finally be able to speak to him? Hagar was still in the house. Ishmael was still in the house. How come now God can speak to him? Because he was finally 100 years old. Nearly 100 years old. And the Bible says in Romans 4, when Abraham was nearly 100 years old, his body was now dead. Remember that? That means God waited until his efforts can effort no more. His works, he can work no more. Until, no matter what, even Viagra cannot help. He was impotent. That's the right word to use. No power at all. God waited until no power at all. And then when he had no power at all, he cannot trust his flesh, God was able to talk to him. And the very first word God says, I am El Shaddai. I am Almighty, because you have no mighty. I am all. Today, salvation is not part Christ, part believer. It is all Christ, none of the believer. Amen. None of you, none of me. Now, the word salvation is all inclusive. You can put healing as well. You want healing? It's all Christ, none of you. Amen. Today, we have a teaching that has caused so much trouble in the body of Christ, because it's not saying complete under law. It's not. It's mixture. Some Christ, some yours. Your work. No, it's none. And Abraham had to learn that lesson, church. Abraham had to learn the lesson. And it's not that God didn't want to speak to him. He's righteous all the time. But how many of you know that you can be righteous and this answers your question? You can be righteous and still find that God didn't speak to you. It's not because God is mad at you. God cannot, because you are, in that sense, at that moment you are not trusting grace, you are trusting the law. Okay? Do you understand that? Let me prove to you right now, when the children of Israel were under the law, God could not speak to them. Because the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are adult sons of God. I'm using the Greek. Adult sons. Now say huios. Huios in Greek is adult sons. Now say technon. Technon is children. Child. Children. Okay? Keep these words in mind. Technon is children, not mature. But sons, every time you find the word sons in the King James, usually it refers to adult sons. Okay? Now back to Galatians 4, verse 1. Galatians 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. Well, this is an amazing verse of scripture. It says that you are an heir. Do you know you are an heir to all that God has? But as long as you are a child, you do not differ at all from a slave, though you are master of all. Amazing. Look up here. That means, as a child of God, do you know that you are master of all? Do you know you're an heir? But if you're a child, alright, you don't differ from a slave. Let's say your father is the king. You have a palace and your nation is the richest in the whole wide world. And you are the son, the only son of the king. Okay? But you're only 5 years old. How can you drive his Lamborghini, which he has 10? Not to mention the Porsche, he has 12 or whatever, you know. You can't even drive a Morris Minor. You can't even ride a bicycle if you're 5 years old. As long as you're a child, you can enjoy, all right? In fact, the slave might be able to drive a car because he's 25 years old. And you are a child, you cannot. So it says, though you're master of all, as long as you're a child, it's as good as a slave. Now, I've heard Word of Faith, and I'm a Word of Faith preacher. I've heard Word of Faith teaching, and I have a book right now, I still have it, that teaches about, and that's why you must grow spiritually. As long as you're a child, all right, you cannot enjoy. Now, he's not talking about our growth here at all. If you look at the context, read everything in the context. It's talking about when we were under the law, when we, the Jewish people, Paul says, when we Jewish people were under the law, we were children. Then God sent Jesus to give us adoption of adult sons. Watch this and see whether I'm accurate. Next. But we were under guardians. When we were children, we were under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, technon, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Elements that refers to the law. You know, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. Hey, you know when little children, look up here. Do you know when little children or your relatives' children come to your house, you tell them, don't go to the kitchen, all right? Don't touch the stove. All right, don't touch that. Don't put your finger there. Don't. Only children, but adults can go in the kitchen. You look at adults, don't touch the stove. Don't put your finger in the socket. All right, you'll be insulting the adult. So the law was given, listen carefully, the law was given, okay, for children. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Timothy, Paul says the law was made for an unrighteous man. So what are you saying when you insist to be under the law? And here it says, back to Galatians, even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world, all the do's and don'ts. But when the fullness of the time had come, this corresponds with verse 2, until the time appointed by the Father. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as huios, full mature adult sons. So grace, you see, notice, it's not talking about your growth. It's talking about once upon a time when you were under the law, you're a child. But now Jesus has come to redeem those who are under the law, the Jews, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Amen. Notice, to redeem those are Jews, that we are Jews and Gentiles. The way he says is so beautiful. He's very accurate. He came to redeem those under the law that we, to be consistent should be like, to redeem those under the law that they might receive. But instead of that, to redeem those Jews who are under the law,